الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. All praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. I bear witness that there is only one God to be worshipped, the God that no one has ever seen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that he is the final messenger of God and the seal of all the prophets. I greet the believing audience today with the greetings of peace, the greetings that we hope to receive on the day of resurrection, the day we have to stand before our Lord. The greetings which means may peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty God be upon you. Today I have a guest with me. She's never been here before. My sister, Rhonda Atim. I'd like to give her the greetings of peace of Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Okay, she's here today to talk about several issues, several topics pertaining to her life, our community, and we're going to get into that just in a few minutes, but I want to make a couple announcements in reference to our community. I want to remind people of our classes every week. We have our Aqidah class every Tuesday at 7 p.m., and this is the creed of our religion, to understand the breakdown of our religion, the fundamentals of Islam. And then every Wednesday, we have a Quran class at 7 p.m., and we are studying from the tafsir, or the explanation of Ibn Kathir. And everyone is welcome doing these classes. Everyone, Muslim and non-Muslim, are welcome to attend. Also, our Friday service is from 2 to 2:30, 2 to 2:30 every Friday. And also, the doors are open for anyone who would like to attend. You're most welcome. I want to mention one of the events that we have coming up on May 16th, and this is a cookout that we have scheduled. And I know it's a little far out, but we want to put it out early so we have time to prepare. People can put it on their schedule. And this is a cookout that we are going to have, inshallah, God willing, at Booker T. Washington State Park. This is on May 16th. It's a cookout for our community. When I say community, you know, any other the Muslim communities or mosques that we have in Chattanooga is welcome to come. Also, you know, I'm encouraging people, if you have friends, they don't have to be Muslim. You have your family, your grandparents, your cousins that would like to come out on May 16 and have some food. You know, we're grilling out. People are bringing food from their own culture. You know, we have the Pakistani community. We have the Sudanese community. We have the Bosnian community. We have the Indonesian. We have many, many people from all over the world bringing food, and we're cooking out and grilling out. You're welcome to come. Try to bring your family member, someone who is not a Muslim, just to let them come and have a good time, especially the children, because this is one of the reasons we're having this cookout, so the children can come and enjoy themselves, you know, enjoy the park, enjoy the lake, do some fishing, play some basketball, some soccer, and just, you know, relax. Relax and have a good time. So this is May 16. We're going to keep announcing this event at Booker T. Washington Park, May 16, because we want everybody to come out if they can and just have a good time. So we have many activities that's going on now. If anyone have any questions about this event, you can call me, 706-459-1010, 706-459-1010. Also, you can go on our website, uidf.org, uidf.org. If you like any type of Islamic material from us or listen to some of the previous radio programs that we have, you're most welcome to visit that site. And if you always, anytime, have any questions, you can call me personally. This is my personal number, 706-459-1010. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will be at our sister Rhonda Atim.
You are listening to the Understanding Islam Show, sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. The Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is a nonprofit organization established since 1995. The purpose of the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is to provide accurate information about the religion of Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. The Understanding Islam radio show is hosted by Hamad El Amin and airs every Sunday in Chattanooga, Tennessee and Dalton, Georgia. The Understanding Islam radio show also gives businesses and individuals an opportunity to provide beneficial information to our community by appearing on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor radio show, also sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. If you would like a Quran, a copy of a radio show, or any Islamic literature, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. They ship all of their materials to you free of charge. If you would like to attend one of their classes, which are for Muslims and non-Muslims, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. For additional information, visit their website at www.uidf.org. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam radio show. Now back to your host, Hamad El Amin.
Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. We hope that everyone is having a good day today. I have a sister with us, Rhonda Atim. She's very, very well known in our community, very active, the mover and the shaker, making sure everything get done. This is her first time here, but I hope it's not her last time. I want to give her the greeting of peace again. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Thank you so much, Sheikh Hamid, for inviting me.
So how's everything going?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Good, good. So, start now. I'm glad you came today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here, too.
Oh, yeah. I think you have a lot to contribute to the information that's sharing in our community and what we're doing in our community. Why don't you start off letting the community or the listeners know a little bit about you?
My name is Rhonda Atim. I'm from Sudan. I came here in 2016 with my husband and three kids, surviving the war from Darfur. And my first son, he was born here. And the ages of my boys, 16, 14, 11, and 6 years old. We came here to Chattanooga, as I mentioned before, to surviving the war in Darfur. And life in America is totally, totally different than the life in Sudan and Egypt and in Middle East. And the first challenge we faced, the language, because I never spoke English before. We've been studying English just for class and tests, and that's it. And it was a big challenge, but the good thing when we came here, around that time they been holding a lot of ESL classes, and I got to join the ESL classes the day number 4th when I got here to Chattanooga, and I attend most of the ESL classes around Chattanooga, and I started learning the English from the beginning. And alhamdulillah, I was able to move forward until I got my HiSET, and I got enrolled at Chad State as a RN student.
So how much English could you speak when you first came?
About 10 words.
Really?
Yes.
Was that kind of difficult to navigate yourself around?
Yes, it was, oh my gosh. It was huge, huge, huge obstacle I faced, but I have a big faith, and I do like to learn. That's what it's motivate me to learn more. Yeah, because I cannot survive without learning the language. I'm here.
Right.
Everybody speak in English. Everything written in English. I got to learn the language first for me to be able to do other things.
Right, right. So you said you came here because of the war.
Yes, sir.
All of your family or just some sections of your family?
Yeah, just my small family, my husband and my kids, because the process to come over here is very, very, very long process.
Mm-hmm.
We got to apply because my husband, he's the one who was facing the problem in Sudan, and he got to leave the country because if not, he would get arrested for a political reason, and he went to Egypt and he applied at the United Nations organization, and through them they replaced us to come to United States. They sent people to the different countries around the world, but we got to choose to come to.
You had a choice.
No, they chose for
they
us.
They chose for you.
Yes.
Okay. Was it somewhere else you all wanted to go?
No, we wanted to go to England, but I remember my husband, he came home, he said, like, his face doesn't look well. I said, like, hey, do we get selected to go to United States? He said, sadly, yes. I said, like, no, why you say sadly? He said, like, I want to go to England. I said, like, hey, this is what Allah has for us.
Right.
And we should accept it.
Right.
And he said, like, I don't know, because it's going to take a while for us to go there, because the process to come to America, it take at least 2 years.
Wow.
When the day you got selected.
Why is that?
Just a lot of background check.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it wasn't that long, subhanAllah. And it took us like few months, and we came here, and like there were, mashallah, Sudanese community. Mm-hmm. We're in the area we got placed on, and it was lovely.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate what is going on in Sudan today.
Yeah, it's very sad.
We have a lot of Sudanese Muslim brothers and sisters in our community. Really, the whole different demographics of our community have changed.
Yes.
And so do you have family that's still in Sudan?
Yes, I do have extended family. And the war affected the entire country, and every state or every place in the country, I have loved one over there, even friend, classmate, neighbors.
Wow.
And they all got affected, and I lost a lot of my extended family in this war.
Through the war?
Yes.
And a lot of people have been displaced also?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of them, my brother and my sister, they got displaced too. The third week of the war, they got to leave the country. They are in Egypt right now.
In Egypt, okay.
Yeah.
So coming to America, what was the first culture shock for you? I mean, culture shock. What's the big different surprise that you saw between your country and America?
First thing, like, everything is totally different. I cannot compare anything. United States is the first country in the world. Africa is the, like, especially Sudan, we are way behind. And, like, language, culture, the way the buildings, like, the most scary thing was for us when we came here, and it's a little bit silly, but like the glass window, it scared us to death.
Glass windows and buildings?
Yes. And like, how the window's gonna be in glass? What if somebody come and attack us? Like the fear of the war and what we have been experienced,
mm-hmm.
carry over. Yeah, for 2 months we were not able to sleep at night because we are terrified. And just a small locker in the door, like, oh my gosh, how's that? We have like several lockers to lock the front door and the bedroom's door and everywhere. And that's what shocked us, and we were terrifying.
Wow.
Yeah, but over time we got used to it because this is everywhere.
Was Chattanooga the first city you all came to?
Yes.
Okay, so you've been here your entire time.
Yes. Yeah, we've been here like 9 years and a few months.
How you like it?
Absolutely. I love it. And the good thing we heard about Chattanooga when we get selected to come to America, my dad has a friend, he lives in Chattanooga, and he gave us his address, and we gave it to the organization over there, and they said, like, we're going to send you to Chattanooga. First thing, to pronounce Chattanooga took us so long time. And also, we heard about Chattanooga as a volunteer state since we were in Egypt.
Mm.
Like, volunteer state, people there very helpful, very nice, and they really are. Since day one, we came to the United States, there is people we don't know, they're welcoming us at the airport.
Wow.
Yes, and they volunteered to bring our luggage and our stuff to the house. And every day, several people will knock the door. Hey, welcome to America. We are so happy you are here. And it was like amazed us.
So that volunteer means everybody's going to volunteer, huh?
Yes. It's really volunteer state.
Yeah. You still under that type of perception?
Yes. Yes. And I became one of them.
You became one of them?
Yes.
Okay, so now you're here, you kind of acclimated yourself into the society and everything. So what are you doing now?
Now I'm a nursing student at Chad State, and I work at the nurse tech at CH Memorial, Common Spirit, the new name right now.
Okay. So what made you want to go back to school?
Yeah, because I graduated from nursing school in 2009 in my country, Sudan. And I was working as a nurse tech since 2007. And after I graduated, I started working as an RN until 2014, when we got displaced to go to Egypt and finish the process to come over here. And the passion came when I was in sixth grade. My mom, she almost died because of the medical mistake. It hurt me so bad. And sadly, it happened twice. Since that time, I said, like, no, I want to be a doctor to help my mom. Mm. And I just keep going with my school. And alhamdulillah, I was very successful. And because I was born in Libya, I forgot to mention this earlier. And I was in Libya in 2017. When you get to high school, you got to choose your specialty, where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to go to the medical field. They sent me to the medical field school. I studied for one year.
You were there in Libya?
Yes. You will study 4 years and in high school, and then you're going to go to the second year in college. You're going to spend less time in college.
Okay.
Like STEM school do here. And after that, we moved back to Sudan in 2002. And totally different education system. And I went to nursing school.
Okay.
Said, like, medical school doesn't really apply to me because I really want to be involved with patient, like taking care of them, talk to them. And as a doctor, I would just like examine them and write the prescription and go. I said, no, I want to spend more time with the patients. That's how I went to the nursing school. And it was in a different state.
Right.
And I had so many obstacles because the language barrier too. Like, even I speak Arabic, but I would speak Libyan dialect. And it sounds very silly for the Sudanese. They don't understand me. I don't understand them. But
the dialect, is that different?
Yes. Totally different. Mm. They, like, I need to have my mom to translate for me.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I heard that education in Libya, I always have heard, is free.
Yes. At the time I was there, but as soon as we moved here in 2002, they changed everything.
Yeah.
And even like foreign students, they're not allowed to attend a public school anymore. Wow. And they have their own private school.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always heard that about Libya, that in healthcare, hospitalization, mm-hmm. all of that is free. 100%.
Not actually free. You will get all the treatment, but as soon as you walk into the hospital, you got to put your passport.
Okay.
In the reception. And you will get the full treatment, everything, but you will not be able to take your passport unless you pay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter, it'll take you 1 year, 3 years. I mean, you have just to pay and get your passport.
It means you're not going to leave the country until you pay.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like held hostage.
Yes.
By debt.
Yes, because there is no insurance at that time.
Mm.
Yeah, like this country is developed so much than.
You mean America?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you find the living here? If anybody caused you any type of problem because of the way you dress, your belief or anything in that?
No, subhanallah, wherever I go, everybody will tell me like, hey, you're welcome, you are so beautiful, I like your dress, I like your hijab.
That's good.
I never ever experienced bad, I had a bad experience about the way I dress or what I do. Mm-mm.
Good. Yeah. So you are involved now in the school,
mm-hmm.
at Anur Academy.
Yes,
right.
Yeah. As a parent's representative.
Parent representative.
Yes.
And what do that mean?
when the school have any like program or announcement, they want to share it with the non-English speaker, especially the Arabic speaker, they will reach out to me. I create a WhatsApp group, and I put all the parents who speak Arabic on that, and I will communicate to them through that group. And also, there is an ESA program. It's a Tennessee voucher program to help parents to pay for their kids, for the kids who go to the private school.
Right.
And I'm in charge of it, like applying for them. It's super easy, but for those people who don't know English, it's a big challenge for them. And I just adapt the program and helping all the parents apply and reapply and submit the fees and everything they want to communicate with the school, they will come through me.
Okay. So what grade do it go to now? The school?
The school is going from pre-K until 8th grade. And now we are really, really, really trying for them to go up to high school, because the 8th grader, they got accepted in public school and other schools, but they don't want to go. They don't want to leave.
They don't
want to,
yeah.
Yes. And subhanAllah, I had this conversation with the principal, and I told her, like, my son and his friend in his classroom, they don't want to leave Anwar Academy. She started crying. She said, like, why? I said, like, because they love you. They love the community. They love the place they are in, and they just want to stay here.
Mm.
If you could have a high school, that would be awesome. Even though, if you just give us one more year to stay here, and then we'll figure out where we can send them. But the kids, they said, like, we don't want to go. Oh, like, there's some of them, they got this accepted at STEM school, but they said, we don't want to go. We prefer to be homeschool and be belong to a Anwar Academy instead of going to these schools.
Well, that's available, isn't it, to be homeschooled?
Yes, through the K-12.
Yeah.
And they can come and take the Islamic study and Arabic class and Quran class with the school.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard the students almost have doubled.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah,
yeah.
MashaAllah. And they, like, tonight I'm going to apply to a double amount to the program, the ESA program. And alhamdulillah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, because we started with 30 seats now for ESA, and now we are up to 70-something just for ESA.
Wow.
And the other Tennessee program, it's the EFS. It's the same program, but this is for the people whose their income is higher than $82,000. And it's like income based and not income based, but the ESA is income based. Yes, like we are in the both programs, and even the school sizes became like very small for this growing community.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, you don't have the room to. You only have a certain amount for the capacity of the children out there, right?
Exactly. And the community is growing so fast, and we really, really need a bigger space.
Are there plans?
Yes. And we need help for whoever can help us find a bigger space for us to have our Islamic school from pre-K to high school. That would be amazing.
You mean a school outside of the masjid, of the mosque, have your own facility?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But as of right now, they want to do some extension, but it's not going to be that much, because if they're going to have high school, it's going to be 4 classes. And though already the classes is double the elementary school, and we need to have at least 2 classes for each level. And there's no much room we can do the extension for these classes inside that building.
What about teachers?
Teachers, they can hire teachers. They have teachers. And
have.
Yeah. And the one thing about the 8th grader, when they said, like, because Miss Amani, and there is another teacher, her name is Hind. She's the one who teach them Islamic study and Quran. they said, like, we don't want to leave her. We want to be with her forever.
Wow.
And subhanAllah, while I'm talking to Miss Amani, she walked in, and I just loved to joke with them. And she was, Miss Amani was telling her, like, hey, Miss Hind, come and hear this. There's a big, huge problem. And she said, like, oh, my gosh, Rhonda, you're here. I bet there is a problem. I said, like, no, I'm not the reason for the problem this time. You are the reason. She said, oh, my gosh, what I did? I said, like, you love the kids so much. You've been teaching them very well, and they don't want to go.
Mm.
They want to stay with you. And they want you to be their high school teacher as well. Oh. She started crying as well. She said, like,
really?
We've been preparing for their graduation, but I don't know what's going to happen. Like, we going to, like, cry so bad because we love them. We don't want them to go out, but we want them to experience different school, different teacher, different environment.
Yeah, but the value system at the Islamic school is so much important.
Exactly.
They won't have that when they go to public school.
Exactly. That's what they don't want.
Wow.
And they going, yeah, like they mentioning, they really missing Islamic study class and Quran class.
Right.
Yes. And for my kids, they just joined Islamic school last year. And subhanAllah, from the second week, my oldest son, he never studied Arabic. He was able to read the Quran from the Mushaf Arabic.
From the book. Yeah.
In Arabic. 2 weeks after school start. It was impressive. And subhanAllah, he joined the El Mizmar competition. It was in Knoxville last year. And he won the Mizmar.
Mm.
Yes, he was. He went the Mizmar for his age group. That's for memorizing Quran, memorization, tajweed, recitation, and subhanAllah, he came number one. And it was the honor for us and for the school and for the community.
Okay.
At all,
okay.
He's the only one from Chattanooga,
right?
And the rest from the other states, but and cities. But he's from Chattanooga. It was like something huge, really motivate us. And subhanAllah, the next competition, it was yesterday, and like alhamdulillah, we have like good student amount of students. They registered and they were able to compete yesterday.
Okay, let me just tell the audience, because you're using some Arabic words. SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
So SubhanAllah means glory be to God, right? And she's saying, Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all praise be to Almighty God. So, you know, usually I try to break that down because you have a lot of, really most of the listeners are non-Muslim, you know. Okay, another thing, because I wanted to kind of emphasize on the school. I have two grandchildren that hopefully, God willing, will go to that school.
Inshallah.
The following year.
Inshallah.
Okay, so the curriculum is just what you have in public schools, but you also have connected to that some Islamic studies, like
yes.
The Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is the value system. And the other thing is that the children can stop and pray during the day when the prayer times come. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, the addition to the public school curriculum, they have their own curriculum. It's an Islamic study, Quran, and Arabic. It's called ELA.
Yeah.
During the school day, they rotate on these classes. And as you mentioned, they will get to pray.
Right.
And they will pray in groups.
They pray in groups.
Yes. Like each group, they will get them together and teach them how to make wudu.
And wudu is ablution, how to wash to pray.
Exactly.
Right.
And teach them how to pray. And each day they will have one kid will lead them.
Great.
Yes. For them just to have that leadership.
Yes. Very good.
Yes. And for the oldest, they were pray in separate rooms to then disrupt each other. And if a teacher would be there watching them, how they perform the wudu or the washing and how they pray, and she will correct them after that, and she will sit with them and talk to them, and they're learning about aqidah and hadith, what Prophet Muhammad says, and stories about all the prophets. Like, I feel like we are in our countries, but here in the state.
Right.
Because our kids got to learn all the principle of Islam and Alhamdulillah, and they're practicing it very well. And the other thing, the kids, they love to be, like, for my kids especially, when they go to school, to the school, especially on Fridays, they don't want to come back home.
Really?
Yeah, they will stay there all day. When we go to for our Friday prayer, and they will say, like, Mom, can we stay, play a little bit? And yeah. After that, we have family night every night. Can we just stay for the family night? Like, I don't put any plan on my Friday, because I know that's a must day.
Right.
We will
right.
stay there. They will play, they will pray, they will learn, they will socialize. And it's a good environment for everybody. Like, I will get to know more people. Like, I'm from Sudan. I got to meet people from around the world.
Right.
And we became friends with them. And
I think that's one of the benefits, because, like I was telling my daughter, if they go to an Islamic school, it's not like when school turn out, you know how people are in line to pick their child up. If you're a little bit late, you know, they're calling you or whatever. At least you can coordinate at the masjid. When we go all the time, it's like home to us.
Exactly.
You know, somebody there know the kid, know their family or somebody, where it's still a safe space for them if they're
exactly.
there. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Because we're going to come there and pray anyway.
Yes.
So the children are there.
Yes, and the principal, she doesn't leave the school before 7. Like, if there is a delaying issue for any reason, the principal there and there's somebody else.
7 in the evening?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what time school start and what time it end?
School start at 8:15 and finish at 3:30. But there's an after-school activity or tutoring. Kids could stay after school time. And they have a bus. And they do 2 rounds because, mashallah, we have a lot of kids around Chattanooga. They will pick them in 2 rounds and bring them on time and take them home in time. Alhamdulillah, we are very blessed. But we are hoping for a big bus. We can do just 1 round to take everyone in the same time.
Right, right.
That's our wishes, but we'll see.
Well, that's one of the, I think, a plus for our community.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
You know, I've had Madge Dion. I had the principal on the radio show also, and she spoke of the great benefits of, it's a need. I mean, you know, it's almost like a hypocrisy.
Yeah.
To teach your children a certain principle, a certain faith, a certain morality in life.
Exactly.
And then you put them in an environment that's total contradictory to that.
Yeah.
You see, you have a lot of things forced onto them in the public schools.
Yes.
When you're teaching them something else at home, you know, or in private schools, just like you said, after the 8th or 9th grade, they have to go somewhere else.
Yeah. And the big issue facing those kids who graduated from a Noor Academy to go to a public school wearing hijab or wearing the dress, the
right.
Islamic way.
Right.
That's a huge, huge, huge problem for them. Some of them, they became homeschooled because of this. He said, yeah. I cannot keep my hijab on. They make fun of me. They laugh at the way I dress. And they cannot, like...
In public school.
In public school, yeah.
Right.
Like, to perform their salah, especially during the winter time, because it's like we have a short day. Like, they have to pray, like, Fajr and Dhuhr and Asr at the school, and
yeah.
it's going to interfere with their classes and
right,
whatever.
Right.
But in Islamic school, there's... is scheduled for everything.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a no-brainer, I think. Before the grant, it was very expensive for a lot of people.
Very expensive.
Yes.
They had few students in each classroom because a lot of people, they cannot
afford it.
And I was one of them. And let me just tell you, share this with you guys, what, like, let me, like, really, really, really want my kids to go to the Islamic school. I am also a teacher at Sunday school. I teach Quran and Arabic. And we had a Quran competition, and all the winners were from the Anwar Academy.
Is that right?
Yes. And I was crying so bad, not because my kids didn't win, how well they did, and mashallah, the way they memorize, the way they recite, the way they behave, everything is totally different than our Sunday school.
Mm.
And I went home. I was praying at night. I said, like, Ya Allah, please, 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 please help me and guide me to the way I can send my kids to the Islamic school. I cannot afford it. I have three of them. I cannot afford it. Allah, please open the doors for me. SubhanAllah, through a friend, I heard about the ESA program, and I went and talked to the principal. I said, like, Ms. Hamani, did you heard about this program? Before I talked to Ms. Hamani, I called them and said, like, hey, can you enroll a school in this program, private school? They said yes, and I got all the information before I talked to the principal.
Right.
When I went there, I talked to her. She said, like, yes, I heard about this program, but I'm not sure if we can accept it. Like, for a long time, I said, like, Ms. Hamani, please apply, please apply, please apply. And she did apply, and they asked her about a lot of requirement and things to do. She did that. As soon as she got accepted, she called me. She said, Rhonda, we got accepted.
Yeah.
And we're going to have like 30 students.
Right.
Who start jumping. And it was like
so. That was a year or two ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yes. You know, late last year, they had a big conversation about the funding of Islamic schools in Tennessee.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, because the people found out that there's an Islamic school in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And so the non-Muslims, of course, were saying, should we be funding Islamic schools with taxpayers' money? Not, but even though that same program of grants fund many Christian schools.
Yes.
You see what I mean? So what the problem was, now Muslims are going to be able to take a slice of that pie.
Yes, sir.
And some of them, well, many of them was upset about it. I mean, they spoke about it right here on some of Chattanooga radios and in the newspapers here saying, do you all know we're funding an Islamic school? Even though for years, Christian schools have been getting this type of grant. So by her applying and we are getting the money now.
Alhamdulillah.
It's justice.
Yes.
It's fairness.
It's fairness, yes.
Right?
Yeah, and SubhanAllah, we have Christian student too
that comes to the school.
Yes, they come to the school.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
and
a great thing.
I got one of the Christian parents. He asked me, like, hey, my daughter, she's in here and she wanna pray, but she doesn't have the prayer dress. If there's any way I can buy it, and I give him one as a gift, and he was so happy, and his daughter was so happy. She would be able to pray with her friend, even their Christian.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And I was listening on the radio the other day. I forget what city it's in, but this particular school, this is another controversial thing, is that the school is going to fund or give Muslim students in that school, it's a public school, time to pray.
Yes.
They will have, what they're trying to figure out, how can we signify, how can we do we sound a bell every day, two times? How will we let them know it's time to pray? So, and then another thing they were upset about, that the school said that we're gonna supply them prayer rugs. You know, and they said, my God, now you're going to give them prayer rugs? Now you're going to let them out of the class for, it's only like 5 to 7 minutes for the prayer.
Yes.
So now they're going to give them a place to go pray.
MashaAllah.
They're going to give them furnish them some type of little prayer rugs to pray, and they're going to give them the time.
Alhamdulillah.
But what is that going to do for them? It's going to make them better students. It's going to make them better students because they're remembering God throughout the day. You see what I mean? Public schools do not want most of them religion in school.
Yeah.
They say keep prayer out of school.
Mm-hmm.
We say keep prayer in school because you're putting a spiritual foundation for the child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To recognize God, to believe in God, and be thankful for whatever you have and know that God has given that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Public schools do not recognize anything like that until it comes to some type of holiday.
Yes, and in that place, SubhanAllah, the last week of Ramadan, it will be off. We will take our spring break on last week. It's no matter. The spring break with the public school is totally different because we take it in the last week of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. Kids will come to Qiyam al-Layl and prepare for Eid and celebrate the Eid. No pressure. Like, this, that's just one day, take it off from school, public school, and go pray and run. I miss tests, I miss the homework, I miss classes. No, they're totally fine.
You all have a lot of homework?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of homework. And the good things, like,
that's
I heard...
Up, that's been up for discussion, too.
Oh, yeah.
Kids been in school all day.
All day, and they have a lot of homework. Sometimes I spend...
Why?
Long time, because they have to apply what they learned during the day.
I
at
know,
home,
but
to don't forget it.
They've been in school all day.
Yes, but how... They're kids. They don't have anything in their mind.
Like,
No, they have nothing. Just play and eat and sleep. They should go home and do their homework.
And work 3 or 4 more hours.
Yes, because they have to review what they have learned during the day.
Oh, okay.
If they didn't do it, they're going to forget about it.
So you for that?
Yes.
And, you know, sometime, like with my little son, I will stay up until 10:30 to finish the homework.
Really?
They give them a lot of homework.
Wow.
But what the good thing I heard about a Nur Academy, the kids who went to a public to a private school, they said a Nur Academy is the best student. They prepare very well. Mm. They're very knowledge about almost everything.
Right.
They don't give them a hard time. Mm. They are great student. Why? Because of this too much homework.
Wow.
Because this long day at a school. It's
keeping them busy.
Exactly. Keep them busy when they're young, and they're going to benefit themselves when they go to the high school.
Do you all let kids bring cell phones?
They can bring it, but at the lobby, they would take it from them. And no cell phones.
And keep them during the day?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they would take it when they're leaving home. And there is no outside devices. School has their own devices, iPads and laptops.
They provide all of that to school.
Yes, and
right.
They have that program for the kids to go and play and games and stuff during the class.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I think
they are monitoring them very well. And they really taking care of them as they're their own child.
Mm-hmm.
Like the principal, she would get to hug every single student every morning.
I saw that. You know, I taught out there for 1 year.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
MashaAllah.
The Islamic studies for 1 year. Yes.
MashaAllah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And what I saw every morning, like the assembly, you know, standing, everybody's inside the gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
And the principal is going to give, you know, maybe a short talk. And then they have the children read something religious. And then they recite a couple of chapters of the Quran.
MashaAllah.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. And subhanAllah, whenever I get to that assembly, I would get very emotional.
You do?
By the way, how they recite Quran, but the knowledge they have, I feel like they know more than I do. And what has surprised me, like 2 Ramadans ago, we had a competition, Islamic knowledge competition. All the winner, they were a Nur Academy student. Even the imam, he didn't get the first place.
Really?
Yes, all the first place was a Nur Academy student.
That's
we said, like, oh my gosh, you embarrass us so much. We was born as a Muslim, and we thought we are worrying, know about Islam and Aqidah and everything.
Right.
And now, like, I was in 42 place.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
The 40 what?
42.
42, wow.
Yes. And all those young kids, MashaAllah.
Nice.
MashaAllah, yes. And they just read the question, and they already have the answer in there, just to click it. So it's like, for us, like, read it in English, translate it in Arabic, read the options, translate them, and select. Oh, the question is already gone. The second question is.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, I don't know how old your children were when you all came here, but did they have any type of adjustments to this society?
They came here young.
They were real young.
Yes, and they so like. I feel like they just got here and
they don't even know the difference.
No,
good.
No, they don't remember anything.
Good.
You know, because they started school from here.
Okay.
Yeah. And we when we were in Egypt to finish the process to come to United States, they were in the daycare. It's like really, really Islamic, very strict Islamic daycare. They would teach them like Arabic, but Islamic study and Quran was mashallah. Like my oldest, when he was 5 years old, he memorized 2 juzu from Quran.
Okay. Two sections of the Quran.
Yes. Okay. Juzu Amma and Tabarak.
Right.
And my 4 years old, Juzu Amma.
Okay.
This is before we come here.
That's very
now,
good.
Now, alhamdulillah, mashallah.
They're good.
Yes, they're doing really good. SubhanAllah, they don't go to sleep before they read a chapter of the Quran. Even if they get tired of it, they would turn it in their laptop and sleep with it. Right. They don't sleep without turning the Quran on.
I mean, what's better than that?
Yes, alhamdulillah. And the good thing, they spend most of their time in the masjid. They love each other. And when they see each other, you said like, oh, they haven't seen each other in a while. But they were in the school in the morning all day together. When they come for Maghrib prayer, they would hug each other as they didn't see each other for a while. So
like, wow, isn't that amazing?
Yes, and subhanAllah, they don't fight. They love each other, they play and jump, but to see an actual fight with the kids, no.
You don't see that?
Uh-uh. And if they got to argue about something, you will see another child will come like, hey, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't do that, don't say that, we're a Muslim, we're in the masjid, we should better behave. Like, SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah.
What's
alhamdulillah.
Better than that?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. And the outcome, the school, the outcome of the school each year will encourage more parents.
That's another
to come.
Question I was going to ask you. Do you have parent involvement?
Yeah. And Sunday school as well. Like, we have a lot of Sunday school students. They want to come to Anur Academy this upcoming school year.
That's good.
Yeah.
I hear Sunday school is a lot better than years ago.
Yes, because we have a new principal and people who's directing the Sunday school, and we have our own curriculum. Alhamdulillah, we have a good volunteer who teach, and we're willing for more volunteer. Whoever wants to volunteer to teach, they're more than welcome.
I see the students that I taught out there for 8 years, Sunday school.
MashaAllah.
Now those same kids, even though some of them was a little rowdy.
Yeah, yeah. But we are keeping them in the track.
I know, but yeah. I was telling, when me and another brother was talking about this the other day, some of these kids that was kind of rowdy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Today they're driving, they have nice jobs,
yes,
and they are most respectful.
And they are volunteer too.
I know, but when I was out there teaching, when they were younger, they wasn't like that. Hey, stop. Don't say that. Be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
You don't have those type of kids anymore, but I'm just saying, now those kids are very respectful. Praying. I go out there, I see them praying. They driving. They have good jobs.
Yes.
I've gone to certain places. They're working.
Yeah.
Not getting
and
in trouble.
And they're very nice and respectful.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the catalyst for that, you know, the source of that is coming from the Islamic environment that they were in.
Exactly.
You know, you can always come back home, you know, to those values that was taught.
Yes.
You know,
because,
what I mean?
You know, we relate everything to the religion.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what is now some of your aspirations in Tennessee? Some things that you want to do in the future here in Tennessee or anywhere in America. You plan to stay here, or you have some?
No, I'm my plan to stay here, finishing my RN program, and I'm hoping we can have like Islamic school, a full Islamic school. That's my biggest hope.
Yeah.
After I get my, if we can have more mosques, because our community, mashallah, is growing so fast.
Yeah.
And I have bigger places and more activities and more fun for the Islamic community and Islamic schools. And,
well, let's just say this, that the community is growing so fast.
Yeah.
That our Friday services. On Gunbell Road?
Yes.
You have to have two services now.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
And it's not enough too.
Yeah. Two services.
Yeah.
Just to try to accommodate the amount of people.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And during Eid as well, we have to do two prayers still for Eid, because mashallah, people come from other cities to join us. And mashallah, we are growing, mashallah. We're looking for a bigger place. And
see, that's the thing. When people build these masjids, like we do all the time. I forget where I was the other day, Atlanta somewhere. But a guy was presenting that just think of the strength that you would have if you built a facility mm-hmm. that can hold 5,000-6,000 people. That money is united. Mm-hmm. The voices from that community, mm-hmm. you're speaking with one voice.
Yeah.
The things you like what you're talking about right now, mm-hmm. you would have the money to build your own school away from the masjid up to yeah. pre-K to high school.
Yes.
If we came together like that and mm-hmm. built a facility, not individually, just for one location, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's to provide service for everybody in this community.
Exactly.
You see what I mean?
Yes. I've been to Knoxville. Their Islamic school is their Islamic center.
Right.
And all together. They pray there. They go to school there. It's amazing.
Yeah. I've been there two times, I think. Now, that's where the principal is originally from.
Yes.
Knoxville.
Yeah. Yeah. SubhanAllah, she got nominated to be a principal at that school, but she said no.
That's where she came from.
Yes.
They're trying to get her back.
Exactly. And she drives 1.5 hour every day.
Wow.
Back and forth. 3 hours in the way for us. We really appreciate her and appreciate everything she's doing because she's the one who let the school move forward.
Yes.
And
no doubt.
Everybody like willing to send their kids to this school because of the principal.
Yes, no doubt.
We have a great experience.
Principal.
Alhamdulillah. Right. May Allah bless her.
I think she is very, very instrumental. Well, she is the root.
MashaAllah. And the teachers too.
They love her.
Yes. And the teacher, like, as I told you before, they treat the kids like their own kids.
Right.
Not like the student.
I got you.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yes. That's why they love that environment. They don't want to go anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah. So, and we as a parents, I'm very confident for them be there. Because I know they are in a good hand, in a good place, safe
trust
place.
Them.
Yes. Trust them, trust everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So alhamdulillah, it's a lot of things happening right now.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
We're also working on a program to create an app or platform
mm-hmm.
where all of these messages, the three messages, including the one in Georgia Dalton,
mm-hmm.
can come under one platform where we have community sharing. Everybody know you can just click on.
Mm-hmm.
You can see what ISGC is doing, downtown is doing, Dalton doing,
mm-hmm.
and even the Bosnian community want to get on. Who's giving the speech, what times, everything, the
yes.
events,
yeah.
you can just click on that because you want to stop being individualized.
Exactly.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Separatism is no good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we see in our society today. You know, there's, I don't want to get into that area, but we don't want to follow that road.
Yes.
You
because
know?
We are believing in one God. We're
right.
doing the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So bringing those dollars together, it speaks volumes.
Yeah.
It bringing people together speaks volumes.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I mean, I know you're very instrumental in the community.
Alhamdulillah. Rabbil
Alameen. This is our late Winnie lady.
I was talking to him yesterday. I was like, hey, Sheikh Hamid, we want to organize two different trips. But right after the end of the school and before the next school start, we need two different trips to the Lake Winnie. Last time we had like 300.
Yeah, Lake Winnie Fasoka, we go there every year. And I have to say that I was trying to, in the beginning, work this thing without, I didn't, first couple of times you wasn't just like involved in helping the way you are, like getting the money and knowing the people.
Yeah.
But I see you know everybody.
I'm very well known.
Very well known.
Very well known in Chattanooga and Muslim community and non-Muslim community
well. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I found that out and it took a load off of me, believe me. It took a load.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, believe me. So you're very active. People know you to get a job done. And that's what we need to extract from people in our community to try to, connect with their skill set.
Yeah. This is a gifted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to use it in the right place.
Right.
Alhamdulillah. And may He will protect me and help me and guide me to provide more and more.
He's already doing that for you.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah continue to to guide you, keep that motivation.
I mean,
you know, that energy that you have. This is what we need, the energy. And people like volunteering without having to tell them or ask them. They see something that need to be done, let's do it. Let's get it done. Everybody's not like that, but the people who are like that, you know, have to come together and get these programs and activities and things done for our community. So, alhamdulillah, may Allah continue to, you know, bless you, your family, to keep you benefiting the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, the best among us are those who are more beneficial to people.
To people, yeah.
Like, because if Rhonda wasn't here, who would suffer?
Yeah.
It would be... I know I would when it comes to labor. So you don't want to be absent. Nobody even feel your, you know, you being absent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you want to be involved in the community aspects like that. So we got like maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Is anything you want, 5 minutes you want to say before we go off the air?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share my experience being here as a refugee student, and now, alhamdulillah, I'm a citizen, I'm a health person in my community. This is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to thank everybody who involved in my life. And I'm very, very, very proud of myself. I'm the first generation attending college in United States.
Is that right?
And alhamdulillah, I got nominated to receive an excellent award. We have an international student in Chad State. And the event, the award is going to be Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 6 o'clock at the Chad State gym.
Really? They're going to present you an award?
Yes.
Okay.
And I invited my whole community, my old friend. Now I'm inviting you all, Chattanoogan, to come and support me, rent that team, Chad State, Tuesday. The 21st at 6 at Chad State Gym. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We might see what we can do.
Yes.
To promote that.
Yes. Please come and join me and celebrate this moment for me. Like, I feel like this is something really good for, like, our community, the Muslim community, for my country, for Sudan, and for everybody who loves education, want to move forward, and encourage all the women, instead of just being mom at home, you have a great opportunity. Go to school, teach yourself, teach your kids. Education doesn't have a specific age.
Right.
At any age, you can earn a degree. And the other thing, I want to really thank the Chattanooga Police Department for really taking care of us, and for the security who's... with us during the school day.
You have a Chattanooga police officer there every day, right?
Yes.
At the school,
and on the service of Friday too.
Friday.
Help with directing the traffic and keep us safe. Alhamdulillah, I'm thanking them. Like, may Allah bless them and give them long life and bless their life.
Thank you.
I mean,
good. Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, you're welcome to come back anytime.
Thank you.
I think you did your beautiful example of someone who, coming from, like you said, your country as a refugee.
A refugee.
Yeah. Obtaining knowledge, getting to where you are today, and living a good life.
Alhamdulillah. I want you to just think, from coming here from 10 words now, subhanAllah, I'm talking to you guys.
I won't even stop talking. I knew.
Yeah.
You haven't looked at a note today. You know that?
Yeah. I was telling him, like, I don't speak good English. How I can be in live tomorrow? He said, like, no, you speak perfect English. I said, like, okay, I hope I'm not going to embarrass you in Muhammad, but alhamdulillah.
I told my wife, I said, no, once you get started.
You cannot stop her.
Right. Okay, so we're going to leave this session, and hopefully, let's say this is part one. And as staying progress throughout your life and activities and representing the school, if you ever want to come back and promote what's happening and talk about the community, you're most welcome.
Absolutely.
And if anyone needs a program, a copy of this CD, or a link to the program today, you can text me at 706-459-1010, 706-459-1010. If you need a Quran or anything from us, Islamic material, is 100% free. We've never charged anyone for anything. Just call me, 706-459-1010, or text me, and I will ship it to you free of charge. Until next week, I leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.